Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We haven't really gotten much baseball other than to give Edison Volquez credit for being the sixth Florida Marlin, now Miami Marlin, to throw a no-hitter, had not pitched past the into the seventh inning yet this year. Did today, retired 27 batters, actually did so in 29 batters because he walked two and got double plays on both. So he faced the absolute minimum and pitched a no-hitter today. Congrats to him. And there's some other issues out there in baseball that I want to get into with our next guest. He is a former partner of mine. He and I did a show together Monday through Friday, day in and day out for over a year in the satellite world. He now hosts his own show on WUCS up in Connecticut, 97.9 FM. The Nasty Boy himself, former Cincinnati Red, Rob Dibble, joins us here on CBS Sports Radio. Hey, Ben Dibbs.
Jody Mack, how are you, buddy? I've been good.
I'm good. Glad to hear you're doing well. Connecticut treating you okay?
Yeah, this is, I'm from Connecticut. I wanted to come home, and I've been in L.A. for 10 years, and it's been a great 3 years for me so far.
Cool. Looking forward to catching you when I get up that way. Dibs, I enjoyed doing a show with you for the year and change that we did it together, and you always spoke your mind about how you went about handling your business. The Major League Baseball has changed. Shoot, you and I did the show together. It was almost 10 years ago now. Even over the 10 years, it's changed somewhat drastically that the relief pitcher has become so much more an important part of Major League Baseball. Now, 20 years ago when you were pitching, you were part of a bullpen, you, Charlton, and Myers, that was ahead of its time. That you had three studs out there in a bullpen and nobody else in baseball did. Now it's become commonplace. Were you guys just that far ahead of the curve? Do you think baseball has overdone it now with the amount of pressure that they put on relievers and how they've lightened up on what they expect out of starters?
Oh, yeah. I mean, when they put our bullpen together back in that time, I was primarily a setup guy. Randy Myers got traded for John Franco. He was the closer. And then Norm made about 15 starts, and then he came into the bullpen. But all of us through in the 90s and all of us through strikes and nobody really cared who got the save. It was more about just doing your job. Nobody's trying to brand anybody. You know, they weren't trying to do shoe deals and stuff. And, the game has changed. You have eight relievers now. We used to have five. You depend way more on the relievers than you should. And they're it's going to come to a head. I mean, guys only being able to go 15 outs, 18 outs. And looking over their shoulder because they want out of the game is not the way pitching was set up. You know, the starters are supposed to go as far as they can. And then the relief, they come in just to give you a breather. You know, it's only in case of an emergency. There was never a formula for me coming in games. I mean, I had Danny Jackson and Jose Rijo and Tom Browning and guys that threw 230, 250 innings a year, you know, and didn't blink an eye and didn't want to come out of the game. You know, now you can't complete games anymore because the managers have their saber metrics, their analytics, and they're blowing. We have all the Yankee games and Met games on our network, and I follow the Red Sox as well, being here locally, and they're just blowing up these guys out of the bullpen. And when they can't pitch anymore, they send them back to the minor leagues. I mean, there's a high premium on great arms, but they don't care how fast they burn them out anymore. And that kind of bothers me because, you know, a lot of these guys that should have 10, 15-year careers are going to probably have about 5 or 6 year careers.
Rob Dibble here with us on CBS Sports Radio. Dibs, your squad, you mentioned Norm and Randy and yourself, the Nasty Boys out there, ahead of your time, cutting edge, and all three of you could just flat out bring it and weren't afraid to bring it and brought it inside, not afraid to pitch inside as well. And sometimes the ball got a little bit too far inside. You had your issues hitting some guys over the course of your career. It was a major talking point last weekend when Strickland hit Harper and he went out to the mound and the melee ensued and the like. And most people, and Strickland still has not admitted it, but most people said that it had to do with a home run that he'd given up 2.5 years earlier in the playoffs. And when it was mentioned to Harper afterwards, Harper said, well, wait a minute, we lost the series. They won the series, and he won a World Series, and he's still mad about that? No one knows for sure but Strickland as to why he did what he did. But if it was in retaliation for a home run that someone had hit 2.5 years earlier, what's the longest you ever waited to get somebody?
Probably a couple of years. I mean, there were certain guys, you know, like the late Tony Phillips, really ticked me off in spring training one year, and he was hollering at me from the dugout, and I didn't play that game. I mean, it was more, I did my job, I came off the field, and I tried not to show anybody up, and he was screaming at me for I don't know what reason, and a couple of years later, I got a chance to throw one up under his chin. But for me, you know, what Strickland, you know, I think, I can't think for him, but during that playoff series, you know, Harper's a showboat. And he doesn't think he is, but he is. And, you know, not a lot of guys like that, even in today's game. You know, I mean, yeah, you can't take the guy out at second anymore. You can't take the catcher out. You know, there's some rule changes, but nobody wants to be embarrassed. And I don't care if it's 5 years ago, 10 years ago. It doesn't matter. There's no length of time for me to think that you humiliated me and my team. It's not about winning and losing. It's about, listen, that's the way we want to be perceived, and you're not gonna showboat against us. So, you know, Harper, I like Harper, and I like the fact that he charged the mound. He didn't, you know, chirp. He didn't jaw about it. Jake Arrieta had great quotes about it. Nobody's really in the wrong there. And now you can move on because, you know, Bryce Harper's having a great year. He can't let that get in his head. And for Strickland, sometimes, you know what, Jody, we used to hit guys because we couldn't get them out. And, you know, it's also a sign of respect. I'll give you a quick one. Lou Piniella was ticked off at our pitching staff one day. We're playing the Cubs, and Hall of Famer Andre Dawson was just tearing us up. And he's like, listen, you guys are going to, you know, I'm gonna prove a point here. You're going to intentionally walk Andre every time up. Now, Andre Dawson thought it was some kind of personal vendetta. And it wasn't. It was about us because we couldn't get him out. So Lou said every time he comes up, and we walked him 5 times, and by the third or fourth time, Andre stopped halfway down saying, this is a guy, you know him. He never says boo to anybody.
Right.
He was screaming into our dugout, you know, because he wanted to play. And essentially Lou said, no, we're going to take him out of the equation. We ended up winning the game. But Lou's point was, if you guys can't get him out, put him on because you stink. And so, you know, things were more cut and dry back then, too. I mean, it was simplified. You know, your roles were defined. And I think in the playoffs last year, they kind of went a little bit crazy bringing Andrew Miller into the fifth inning or Chapman into the sixth inning and stuff like that. You know what that just shows me? There's not a lot of great pitching out there, Jody. There's not a lot of great starters. You know, if you look at the starters right now that have ERAs over 5, a lot of those guys are in the postseason last year. So from year to year, you're going and flipping guy. Edinson Volquez was almost out of the game a couple years ago.
Right.
All of a sudden, he's developed a good changeup, you know, a little bit of an offside, a little bit of a cutter and sinker. And this dude's throwing no hitters. He was almost unhittable in the playoffs a couple years ago. That's pitching to me. We have too many guys who throw hard, Jody, want to throw 100, want this velocity crap. They can't locate pitches and then they spend a lot of time in the minor leagues trying to figure out why am I here? Because you guys, you don't hit to your spots like we used to. We used to hit 6 inches on the outside of the plate, 6 inches on the inside of the plate, and then when the guy started leaning one way or another, you had him and you threw your breaking stuff. It was pretty easy stuff. Now guys just want to throw 60-70% secondary pitches, and they can't set it up because they can't establish a fastball anymore because in their head, they give up one line drive with their 98-mile-an-hour fastball. They don't throw it again.
Now, you
so,
and I,
you know, it's changed a lot because of the philosophies and the fact that, you know, analytics can tell you the spin ratios of a curveball and stuff like that. But you still have to set it up. You still have to locate it. And, you know, you can have all these guys that don't know baseball talk about it, but the kids have to go out there and learn by competing. And when I'm teaching high school and college kids how to pitch, I'm like, listen, forget all the lessons that I'm teaching you and all that stuff. When you go out in the game, you have a job. Win the game. Compete. Compete as hard as you can. And then let the pitching coach and the manager take you out when you're done. You know, I think you can't look at a guy and be like, you know, okay, he's got, I think one game they took Jacob DeGrom out of the game because he had like 87 pitches. The bullpen came in and lost the game.
Right.
You know, you can't just keep babying and pampering the starters because you think you're saving them from injuries. I think there's more arm injuries today than when I played.
Right.
You know, the philosophy of less innings pitched and less pitches, none of that stuff's working. And you can't show me any data that you've protected anybody over the last 30 years by throwing less pitches.
Rob Dibble, our guest here on CBS Sports Radio. I know you and I discuss this often when we did a show together, but it's become even more pronounced now. And I was a little surprised. Well, one thing you said in your last answer about Miller, so I'll get you a chance to qualify it there. I thought one thing that you and I blatantly agreed on was, and it's now even worse, that relievers need to have their role, and they must have their role defined, and that they have to know that they're a sixth-inning guy or a seventh-inning guy or a lefty specialist or an eighth-inning guy or a closer. And if you're asked to do a role from the role that you're usually asked to do, you're forgiven whenever you can't do it because you are asked to do too much. I never got that. I never understood that. I talked to enough closers. You and I did enough interviews with guys who said, yeah, it really is a mindset thing. And even when they were explaining it and saying it, I still didn't believe it because guys like you, the nasty boys, yeah, all right, Myers got most of the save, but when he needed you in the eighth inning, Padilla throw you in the eighth in the ninth, you'd get the save. And when Charlton needed to get the save, he'd get the save. It didn't matter. You guys just came in and did your job, yet relievers today need to have these defined roles. That's why I loved what Miller did last year, because here was his role. Get the outs. The manager hands you the ball. Get the outs. Don't tell me what inning it is. Don't tell me what the score is. Here's the ball. Get me three outs, and we'll decide if we need three more out of you next inning. And I loved it, and I thought it was great. And it's even worse today than it's ever been before. I hope you're the same Rob Dibble that used to do that with the Cincinnati Reds.
Oh, no. No, don't get me wrong. I mean, I love Andrew Miller. I love Chapman because they can do it. They can pitch in any inning. But you have too many guys that don't have the talent to do that, and a lot of it is mental, and it's being able to say I'm gonna be the closer in the seventh inning. I'm gonna you know put out the fire in the closer in the seventh inning, in the eighth inning, in the ninth inning. You know, but you know you're eight deep in a bullpen, and three or four of those guys, Jody, shouldn't be in the big leagues. You know, and then you have a commissioner that's more worried about the time. You know, saving five minutes on a game. Now you're intentionally walking guys like a softball game. I mean, you know, I can't say anything good about Rob Manfred because he doesn't get baseball. He doesn't even understand it. And now you want to expand and put, you know, another 15, 16 pitchers out there that can't pitch? To me, we used to be quality guys, Jody. So when you talked about my defined role was the sixth, seventh, and eighth inning. It didn't matter when I came in. Your job's to get three outs. Your job's to get five outs. And then the next guy. So it was more like bridging gaps, you know, and so it was preparation, really. And then when you expanded your role a little bit, and Lou was like, you know what, you know, Randy's tired, did you close tonight? So it's going into the night knowing, all right, now I'm going to prepare myself around the sixth inning, around the seventh inning. You know, because back then we were stretching and trainers. I don't even know what they do today. They have all these elastic bands and ribbons and all this other stuff that they're doing. I don't even know what some of these guys do. But for us, it was more mental preparation than it. You know, listen, I could have thrown. When I came up to the big leagues, I was throwing the second inning a lot. I was throwing in the fourth inning a lot. You know, none of that ever bothered me. It was just that, okay, if I'm the middle guy, I'm going to be ready for the middle innings, you know, and be prepared. But if one night they're like, hey, come in and close it out, I mean, I didn't give it a second thought. It didn't really freak me out because I know I had the talent. You have so many guys that don't have talent. I watch every night. And it's like, okay, this guy's going to come out and get two outs. This guy, well, you know, you're not allowing them to fail. So then when you want them to pitch three innings, they can't do it. They can't function because it's like, well, why does he think I can do it now? Because he never thought I could do it in the past. So they already are going in defeated. And you know, baseball is a lot of failure. And so many guys can't handle failure. And it's getting worse and worse and worse. When you have eight guys that you should really only need five guys to do the job, it just shows you a lot of these guys are mentally weak, don't have the ability, and then you want to expand and you want to water down pitching even more. No wonder guys are hitting the cover off the ball. There's, I think, six grand slams today.
Wow.
You know, and I guarantee, none of those guys afterward were even pitched inside on. I mean, it's a question of you have to establish certain things, and in the last 10 years, they've gotten so far away from it. Everybody's comfortable up there. You know, the number one job I had, even coming up in Little League, Babe Ruth, make the hitter uncomfortable. You know, how many hitters are uncomfortable these days? They all stand up there like it's batting practice, whether the guy's throwing 100, 110. But I'll tell you what, if they sink it, change-ups and other stuff, guys can't hit it. They can't hit it because that's the one pitch that's still an equalizer, that off-speed stuff.
I watched a lot of guys get into the box and be uncomfortable against Rob Dibble over the years. Dibs, great stuff. Appreciate it. Hey, if you ever need me to return a favor, I'll hop on your show. It was great catching up. Thanks for coming on with us tonight.
I would love it. I'm going to the Belmont next week.
Nice.
Talk some horse racing.
Oh,
right
shoot. I'll be here on CBS Sports Radio, but I'll have my action in. You can bet on that, Dibs. Always a pleasure, buddy. It. Thanks, pal. Rob Dibble here with us on CBS Sports Radio.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.